translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Raya Ramanand then informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there was another topic known as Prema Vilas Vivarta. You may hear of this from me, Ramananda Rai said, but I do not know whether you will be happy with it or not. Purport. These statements are set forth for our understanding. According to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabhava Bhasya, in essence, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Ramananda Rai, "My dear Ramananda, the explanation you have given about the goal of life and the pastimes of Srimati Radharani and Krishna is certainly the truth. Although this is factual, you can continue telling me more if there is anything more to say." In reply, Ramananda Rai said, "I do not think I have anything to say beyond this, but there is a topic known as Prema Vilasa Vivarta, which I may explain to you. I do not know whether it will bring you happiness or not." Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutan Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Rai Ramananda then informed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there was another topic known as Prema Vilas Vivarta. "You may hear of this from me," Ramananda Rai said, "but I do not know whether you'll be happy with it or not." So we are now reaching the pinnacle of this glorious conversation between Sri Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But before we reach to the pinnacle, it'll be really useful for us to backtrack a bit, to put this verse into context. I think that'll be very, very useful. So let's see where we got to. We'll briefly go to the very beginning. And where did we start off? Ramananda Rai asking Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, What is the ultimate goal of life? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, please tell me and support what you are saying with evidences from the scripture. And who can recall what was the first proposal Ramananda Rai made? Vanashram, yeah. That was rejected because in Kali Yuga, Kalo Shudra Sambhavan, we're all born as Shudras, so Vanashram won't work. So what did he say after that? He made a proposal. So let's just work and give up the fruits of our activities. Whatever you do, whatever you give away, do it as an offering unto me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that won't work. Why? Because in this Kali Yuga, people are very attached to their fruits. Very hard for them to give up the fruit. That won't work. So he proposed, okay, what shall we do then? Is give up. Become renunciants. And Mahaprabhu said, no. When you take to renunciation, the inclination is towards voidism and impersonalism. I don't think so. Go higher. So, Ramananda Rai said, sthanasthita shrutigatam va vanobir. That the goal of life should be, ultimate goal of life should be to constantly hear about the glories of Lord Krishna. The Mahaprabhu said, now you're getting somewhere. Now you're getting somewhere. So Mahaprabhu at that point didn't say go higher. He said go further. No higher, you go further. And then what was the proposal by Ramananda Rai? He proposed a devotional service. Devotional service to Krishna is the ultimate goal of life. Then Mahaprabhu said, yeah, that is okay, but you need to go further. Then he proposed different types of devotional service. Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti. And Mahaprabhu said, no, mixed devotional service doesn't do. We want only pure devotional service. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. Completely free, devoid of any sense of karma, jnana, yoga. And then what did Ramananda Rai propose? He proposed the path of Vaidhi Bhakti, regulative devotional service. Mahaprabhu said, that's okay. But you need to go further. Okay. Then he proposed spontaneous devotional service, rag bhakti. That's okay. Go further. So in rag bhakti, he then spoke about the different rasas. Dasya ras, Sakya ras, Vatsalya ras, and then finally he came to Madhurya ras. Madhurya ras. And then we got to text number, let's say 71. Let me just backtrack. It's very interesting, the progression. Very interesting. So, then 71, and then we went to 96, text number 96. So after he finished Madhurya Rast, which is the conjugal love, what did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is certainly the limit of perfection, Madhurya Rast. Certainly it's the limit of perfection. But please be merciful to me and speak more if there is more to speak. There is more to speak. And then he spoke about Sri Bhati Radharadi, And then we got to text number 129. It spoke about the gopis. He spoke about the gopis. Then we got to text 129 after speaking to the gopis about the gopis and Madhuri Ras. Then he said, okay, that's fine. Please do not try to cheat me, thinking of me as a learned sannyasi. Please satisfy my mind by just describing the truth of Radha and Krishna. So after speaking about the gopis' love for Krishna, he said, I want you to speak some tattva now. I want you to speak about Radha tattva and then Krishna tattva. And then we went into these beautiful verses, beautiful metaphors about Radha tattva, the position of Srimati Radharani. And then we got into Krishna tattva. And then we came to text number 149, where that was all about Krishna tattva, understanding about Krishna tattva. So after he spoke about Krishna tattva, we got to text number 151. And then Mahaprabhu said, he actually stopped. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from 155 to 185, there's discussions about that. And then 186, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu paused. He said, enough tattva now. Enough tattva. What did he want to hear? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, now I have come to understand the truth of the loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. Nonetheless, I still want to hear how both of them gloriously enjoy such love. He said, okay, enough tattva now. I want you to give me some leela. Some leela about Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna. And then we arrived at this section here. This section, Lord Ramananda Rai speaks about the leela, the glories, in terms of Krishna's qualities. Krishna's qualities. And that's where we started off. So Krishna's qualities, so the impetuous for love for Krishna is Krishna's qualities. So last week, we spoke about Dhira Lalita. Dhira Lalita. Who knows, in essence, what Dhira Lalita means? It means Krishna's playful nature. And Radhika Raman Prabhu gave this beautiful class last week. He says, the essence of Krishna's existence is play. That is the essence of what God does. Is He doesn't work. He doesn't strive. His only business is to play. So I just want to go through these verses before we come to Krishna's verse. Because in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami explains about the different bhavas. Vibhava, Stahi Bhav, Vibhachari Bhav, and so on. And then he says, but of all of these bhavs, it's only this bhavas are based on Krishna's personalities. And he said there's four aspects of Krishna's personality: Dhiro Datta, Dhiro Lalita, Dhiro Prasanta, and Dhiro Datta. He said there's four aspects of Krishna's personalities. And the first one is Dhiro Datta. What does Dhiro Datta mean? Srila Rupa Goswami explains that Dhiro Datta means a person who is naturally very grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble, highly qualified, chivalrous, and physically attractive. Then he says Dhira Lalita. A person is called Dhira Lalita if he's naturally very funny, always in full youthfulness, expert in joking, and free from all anxieties. And then he says, Dhira Prashanta. A person who is very peaceful, forbearing, considerate, and obliging is called Dhira Prashanta. And lastly, Dhira Datta. There's no A on the Datta. A person who is very envious, proud, easily angered, restless and complacent is called Dhirodatta by learned scholars. So these are the four qualities of Krishna, these four Dhiras, that attract, really attract. But if you study, they seem almost contradictory. Actually, they are contradictory. Because the first person is Dhirodatta, grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble. And then Dhira Lalita, funny, playful, joking. But in Krishna, Srila Rupa Goswami explains, there is no contradiction. Normally when a person is very grave, you can see sometimes in our community, we have some grave devotees, isn't it? You don't see them laughing, joking, cracking and playful. Once Srila Prabhupada had a disciple, Srila Prabhupada's disciple, what is his name? I think it was Subaldas. He was a very boisterous character. Always playful, joking and everything. So one day Srila Prabhupada was giving class. And he says, one of the qualities of a devotee is very grave. So this devotee says, oh God, you know, this is not... I have to become grave now. So next few days, Srila Prabhupada realized, you're seeing this Subal. And he was very grave, not his normal self. So he called him and says, what's going on? He says, Srila Prabhupada, you said in your class that a devotee is very grave. So I'm trying to be grave. And Prabhupada said, no. Grave does not mean not being who you are. Grave means being serious about Krishna consciousness. That's what grave means, being serious about Krishna consciousness. So Krishna simultaneously, he is grave, but at the same time is full of play. Full of play. So this is the context of Dhira Lalita. This is why these verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are being quoted. And a very nice description is given here of Krishna's Dhira Lalita qualities. And then it says, day and night, Krishna enjoys the pastimes of Srimati Radharani. And then we come to this very esoteric verse. Very esoteric verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where it is said, Kaishoryam Safali Karoti, that Krishna made his youth very successful by these amorous pastimes. Now, just in terms of Krishna's youth, we understand from our Vaishnav Siddhanta that Krishna goes through different stages, and his different ages are described as Komar, which is from birth to 5 years. Poganda is from 5 to 10. And Kaishor is from 10 to just less than 16. Actually, if you want to be more technical, there is even more details about that. Some Vaishnava acharyas explain that Krishna's Kaishorya, in which he performed Rasa Leela, was the beginning of his 9th year. Actually 8 months, 8 years and 15 months. So Krishna performed this pastimes of Kaishorya. And in one sense, it is quite bewildering. Many of us, when we hear this verse of Krishna being an artist in the way he performed his art, we tend to want to shut down and say, this is too heavy, too esoteric, I shall not try to delve into this. This is correct. This is, Srila Prabhupada taught that this subject matter is only for those on the liberated platform. That is explained a bit more in the next verse. Prabhupada goes into a very lengthy purport on this particular point. But Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu will speak on that tomorrow, so I won't go into that. Just to say that... But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada in one of his books writes, what is the purpose of Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada says, the ultimate purpose of Krishna consciousness is to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So that goal is there. But at the same time, some caution is there in that, you know, we have to be careful. Prabhupada told one story in this regard. He said once there was a cow, and the cow was in the barn. And one day the barn caught on fire. And the cow became extremely distressed, completely freaked out. But somehow or the other, the cow was rescued. But from that day onwards, whenever the cow saw red, the cow would freak out. The cow would become spooked. Now, why did Srila Prabhupada say the story? Prabhupada said, in the same way, when we hear of such affairs between Radha and Krishna, we connect it with our own personal experience of mundane sexual activity. So as long as one is still on the material platform, one still has this perverted connection with such activities, then one cannot truly understand these pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Once in the Srila Prabhupada memory series, a Yogeshwara Prabhu tells about one pastime. He says that he relates this one pastime in which they had given sets of Srila Prabhupada's books to UNESCO. And they met the head of UNESCO and they presented the books. And as reciprocation, the head of UNESCO gave these devotees a book with the poems of Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Jai Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. Gave him a book with the poems of Chandidas and Vijayapati. So they brought this book to Srila Prabhupada and they gave Srila Prabhupada this book. And Prabhupada opened the book and he said, these poems of Chandidas and Vijayapati, they were contemporaries of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They discuss the highest subject matter. And he said, this is not for us. This is not for us. When we become to the liberated stage, then we shall understand. So the next morning, Yogeshwar Prabhu heard Prabhupada saying, Yogeshwar! Come here, and Yogeshwar goes running into the room. And then Prabhupada says, Yogeshwar, listen to this. Listen to this. And then let me see what Prabhupada says here. And Prabhupada was taking a massage. And the devotee was massaging Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was looking at the book. And he said, just listen to this, Yogeshwar. Radharani is saying, if you love me, wrap your legs around me. And Prabhupada laughed. He laughed. And then Yogeshwar said, I simply offered my obeisances and I left. Because Prabhupada liked to play with us. So this is very, very high subject matter. Very, very high subject matter. So where is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going with this? So after discussing this verse from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he's saying, this is all right, but please continue. Now, where is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going? You know, we've come to Madhurya Ras, we've come to Krishna Tattva, we've come to Radha Tattva, then we've come to the highest exchanges of love at this platform. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, I want more. So where is this going? So Ramananda Rai is saying, I don't think my intelligence can go beyond this. But then he says, but there is one other topic. Prema Vilasa Vivarta. You may hear from me this, but I don't know whether you'll be happy with it or not. Now why does he say, I do not know whether you will be happy with it or not? There's a reason. Yes, Prabhu? From the material perspective. Actually, you're quite close to the reason. He said because of his own interpretation. So up to this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the beginning told Ramananda Rai, everything you say, please back it up with some scriptural evidence. And Ramananda Rai had done that. But with prema, vilasa, vivarta, that is Ramananda Rai's own composition. It's his own composition, as will be explained in the next verse. So he was feeling, you know, a Vaishnava is naturally humble. He's thinking, this is my own composition. Would Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu be happy with it or not? So, what is this prema, vilasa, vivarta? Because this gives us the reason or the clue of what higher that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to hear. Because it's quite revealing. You see, in these verses, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is becoming very impatient. He's asked or requested Ramananda Rai Prabhu to speak something higher. And then he speaks about three verses and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that's enough. I want you to go higher. And then the very next verse, what does he do? He asks Ramananda Rai to go higher and then he puts his hand on Ramananda Rai's mouth. The moment he starts speaking, he puts his hand on Ramananda Rai's mouth. So there's some really interesting and mystical things happening here. But let's just briefly discuss, and I'm being very cautious here not to go into tomorrow's class because I'm sure Bhuta Bhavana Prabhu will speak a lot about this. But Srila Prabhupada translates prema vilasa vivarta. And Srila Prabhupada's translation is so interesting. How does Srila Prabhupada translate it? Srila Prabhupada says, the resultant bewilderment or revolution in the ecstasy of loving affairs. My God. What is that? The resultant bewilderment or revolution in the ecstasy of loving affairs. So, to understand such a statement, we have to go to our Vaishnava Acharyas. And that has largely been explained by Srila Rupa Goswami in his book, Ujvala Nilamani. But also, Srila Prabhupada, we know that Srila Prabhupada summarized the Chaitanya Charitamrita in a book called The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And although the teachings of Lord Chaitanya has got many chapters about different conversations, this particular conversation Srila Prabhupada leaves to the very end of the book. And in that book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada summarizes this chapter very, very beautifully. And in this particular instance, Srila Prabhupada translates this and he gives the meaning of Prema Vilasa Vivarta. And I'll read you. This is from Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Srila Prabhupada writes, "After hearing Ramananda Rai speak of the qualities of Srimati Radharani and Krishna, Lord Chaitanya desired to hear from him about the reciprocal exchange of love between them. Ramananda Rai described Krishna as Dhira Lalita, a word indicating a person who is very cunning and youthful, who is always expert in joking, who is without anxiety and is always subservient to his girlfriend. Krishna is always engaged in loving affairs with Srimati Radharani, and he takes to the bushes of Vrindavan to enjoy his lusty activities with her. Thus, he successfully carries out his lusty instincts. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is stated, by his impudent and daring talks about sexual indulgence, Krishna obligated Srimati Radharani to close her eyes and take advantage of this. Krishna painted many pictures on her breasts. These pictures served as subject matter for Radharani's friends to joke about. Krishna was always engaged in such loving activities and thus made his youthful life successful." Upon hearing of these transcendental activities, Lord Chaitanya said, "My dear Ramananda, what you have explained regarding the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna is perfectly correct. Yet there is something more I would like to hear from you." So this is what Prabhupada is explaining now. "It is very difficult for me to express anything beyond this," Ramananda Rai replied. "I can only say that there is an emotional activity called Prema Vilasa Vivarta, which I may try to explain, but I do not know whether it will make you happy or not. In Prema Vilasa, there are two kinds of emotional activities, meeting and separation. This transcendental separation is so acute that it is actually more ecstatic than meeting. Ramananda Rai was expert in understanding these highly elevated dealings between Radha and Krishna, and in this regard, he had composed a nice song which he narrated. The purport of the song is that the lover and the beloved, before meeting, generate a kind of emotion by the exchange of their transcendental activities. This emotion is called rag or attachment, attraction." So basically, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, if you take the exchanges and the emotion between Radha and Krishna, and you take it to the highest summit, that highest summit is experienced in Madhurya Ras, in the stage of Mahabhav, in separation. Vipralamba, not Sambhu. And that is the essence of the song that Ramananda Rai is composing. And then there's another beautiful explanation given by Srila Rupa Goswami. Actually, it is a commentary was written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who summarizes what this Prema Vilasa Vivarta is. And I'll read it to you. But before that, I just want to make one point which is important, which Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes in his commentary. So he explains that normally we understand that prema is the highest stage of love of Godhead. But our acharyas explain there are two types of prema. There is ordinary prema that we find in Vaikuntha, and then there's Vraja Prema. So in Vraja Prema, there is higher stages. Above Prema is Sneha. Sneha means deep affection. Above Sneha is Man, which is called vexation or transcendental anger. Above man is pranaya, which is intimacy. Above pranaya is rag, which is strong attachment. Above rag is anurag, which is profound attachment. And above anurag is mahabhav. Mahabhav, which means the highest ecstasy. And to make us have some understanding of what he's been spoken about, they give a nice analogy. And they said, the acharyas say, prema is like sugarcane. How many of you all have tasted sugarcane? Yeah, Mataji is from Mauritius, you must taste sugarcane. So we have sugarcane. And then when you squeeze the sugarcane, you get sugarcane juice. So we have prema. And higher than prema is sneha. So sneha is like the sugarcane juice. Now when you take sugarcane juice and you boil it down, you get molasses or something called jaggery. Or in Sanskrit, it's called gada. Yes? So that is man. Right? So when you take jaggery and you make it refined sugar, sometimes called chini, that is rag, strong attachment. And when you take the sugar and you make it mishri, little candy, that is anurag, that's a profound attachment. And then when you take the mishri and you make it big rock candy, that is called sitopala. That is mahabhav. So we have love of Godhead, which is sugarcane, and it becomes more and more and more dense. So Ramananda Rai here is waiting. What is wanting? He's telling Ramananda Rai, I want you to go to the Sitopala, highest ecstasy, which is mahabhav. So this is what, and our acharyas explain that to enter Vrindavan, one should be at least, to enter Vrindavan in the stage of Dasya Ras, one should be at least at the stage of Rag. At least at the stage of Rag. So, Rati means attraction or absorption in Krishna. And when Rati does not diminish in the face of obstacles, when it becomes fully ripened, that is called prema. So, to enter into the Lord's pastimes of Goloka Vrindavan is not a cheap thing. One needs to have a very strong attachment for Krishna. One has to have deep attachment for Krishna. Like we were discussing recently with some devotees. Imagine you at home and some guest comes, right? And you have no relationship with that guest. When they come to your home, is there going to be much loving exchanges? No. So in the same way, when one enters into the spiritual world and there's no relationship with Krishna, is there going to be anything? Nothing. So we have to develop our relationship with Krishna. This is the process we're going through in bhakti. Developing that relationship with Krishna. Because unless we develop that relationship with Krishna, there's no question of us going to back to Krishna. Because when we rock up there, we are strangers. We're strangers. So, the highest ecstasy is this stage of mahabhav. So let me read now And I found this very beautiful. This is Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's explanation of what is prema vivarsita vilas. So Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti, in his commentary to the Ujjvala Nilamani of Srila Rupa Goswami, he writes, Radha is the ideal devotee or the ideal subject of love. Krishna is the ideal and the sweetest object of love. The sweetness of Krishna cannot be realized except through the eyes of love. Since Radha's love is the highest, Krishna in the sweetest form is realized by Radha. But both the love of Radha and the sweetness of Krishna are ever growing. This is the point we're coming through. This love and sweetness, Krishna's sweetness, invokes Radha's love. Radha's love heightens Krishna's sweetness. The intensity of Radha sublimates the sweetness of Krishna, and the sweetness of Krishna sublimates the love of Radha. There is, as if it were, a race between the two. The race continues until both love and sweetness reach the highest stage. So this is competition. Love and sweetness. And Radharani is exhibiting a love, and when she sees Krishna's sweetness, and Krishna sees the love, his sweetness increases, and this is going higher and higher and higher. At this stage, the highest type of bliss is experienced. The bliss is so sweet, so intense, and this intensity obliterates the object-subject relationship. So Radharani is the subject, Krishna is the object. And this heightens through love and sweetness, it goes higher and higher and higher, till the subject and the object gets obliterated. And all you have is oneness. The subject loses all consciousness of himself as well as the consciousness of the sweetness that causes the experience. Only the bliss consciousness remains. The bliss remains itself. Rupa Goswami says that in this state, love melts the minds of Radha and Krishna to such an extent that they virtually become one, and perception of difference is not possible. This state of love between Radha and Krishna is called prema vilasa vivarta. And it is from this standpoint of this ecstatic love of Radha and Krishna that the ultimate reality is realized. So that is what is prema vivarta vilas. It's very high, but that was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trying to get Ramananda Rai to. And this is what Ramananda Rai is explaining. Does that make sense? I mean, I don't feel very qualified to speak on it, but at least we should have some idea of what this is. And this principle of oneness, it is a very interesting principle. Because Srila Prabhupada said, in Krishna consciousness, we also have oneness. And we all know that Srila Prabhupada's mission was to smash the Mayavadi concept of oneness. And once Srila Prabhupada in Melbourne in 1972, he was speaking to some Maharishi impersonalists. And he brought out this point here. And Prabhupada, and they were talking about oneness. And Prabhupada says, anyway, whatever you do it all together. That is merging. But you're all individual. Your personality is different from his. His personality is different from him. Him from you. But because you have got one interest, therefore you're one. Just like we. We are so many individuals. But our interest is Krishna. Therefore we are one. Try to understand what is merging into one. You are all individual. Nobody can be. It is not something material. We are all spirit soul, so we are individual. But if our interest becomes one, then we merge into one. This is oneness. Try to understand this oneness. So when Radha and Krishna's interests become completely and absolutely one, that is oneness. Oneness does not mean void. No. Oneness means when our interest becomes one. That is oneness. Real oneness means to be interested in Krishna. That is oneness. Other oneness will not stand. Just like you are now one. As soon as your interest becomes less, becomes different, you become separated. And that is our condition. We are in this material world because we lost that sense of oneness with Krishna. We made our desire a little different. No similar interest. So we lost that oneness in purpose, in service. So oneness does not mean you lose your individuality. Oneness means you keep your individuality, but you take the same interest. Then it is oneness. It is not possible that you lose your individuality. That is not possible. You are individual eternally. Do you understand this? Have you got anything to say about this oneness? Do you differ? Just like the sunlight physically, they are very small, shining molecular. What is it called? Sunshine. So Prabhupada was making this point to this impersonalist, that we also have oneness in Krishna consciousness, but it is of a completely different nature. And the ultimate oneness is this prema vilasa vivarta. So I'll stop here. I think on Saturday we conclude at 8:45. So you got about 6 minutes for class. Yes, Prayojan Prabhu. Just 1 minute, Prabhu, the mic will come.
We were in New Vrindavan, I think a couple of years ago together, and I've forgotten the name of the Maharaj who was still there, but he described the feelings that they felt when Prabhupada left the world. There was complete despair. Complete despair, he said. And then in that despair, there came an understanding that we must all out together do what Prabhupada wanted. That they found their mission in their despair of realizing that's all they had left, and that they must carry on, and somehow then they became one. One in their purpose, that they must carry on and they must fulfill that part of Srila Prabhupada's vision of New Vrindavan. I don't know if I described it very well, but they found their purpose together again, that somehow they must try and achieve what Prabhupada wanted in their despair.
Thank you for that, Prabhu. Actually, it's a very good example, because in terms of what's being discussed in this verse, that oneness comes up from oneness in purpose, and also it reaches its highest stage of oneness in separation. So that oneness of purpose when Srila Prabhupada left was there, and that separation, that feeling of intense separation, intensified that oneness in purpose in ISKCON. That's a nice example. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. You're talking about Radha and Krishna's pastimes. In Prema Bhakti Chandrika, it explains a nice analogy, saying that Radha and Krishna's pastimes are like an ocean of nectar, and everything else is like an ocean of salt.
Ocean of soap?
Salt.
That's very nice.
It gives you a comparison.
Like in last week's verse, Prabhupada says, it's like iron and gold. They look the same. One is an ocean. Both are oceans. But they are completely different in nature. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Discuss all these amazing topics. Srila Prabhupada came to bring the message of Mahaprabhu, and ultimately was what we were hearing. So for us, like, is there a bridge to get to some kind of sadhana for this ragmar, or is it, like, do you get my question?
I sort of understand. How do you get from here to the other side?
Is there a way, or it's just something that we hear on the books, like?
Our acharyas have explained, they said that if you immerse yourself and you dive deep into the ocean of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, when you come out of that ocean and when you surface again, you surface in the ocean of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So what that means is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are currently taking place right now. They are taking place in Srila Prabhupada's Sankirtan movement. If one immerses oneself in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement through Harinam Sankirtan, through book distribution, through preaching, if we dive deep into this ocean, we will surface one day. And when we surface, we'll surface in the ocean of Radha and Krishna. That's what our acharyas have explained. That's how you go from this side to that side. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you for a very nice class. My question is about something that you mentioned earlier in your class, which was the four different definitions of the characteristics of Krishna. And I think the last one that you mentioned, what struck at me was, I think it included arrogance.
Yes.
And I mean, I think of arrogance as a negative trait. So I was just wondering if you could maybe explain a little bit to help me understand that characteristic of Krishna.
Yes, it's mentioned, I'll read it to you. A person who is very envious, proud, easily angered, restless, and complacent is called Dhiradatta. So, Srila Prabhupada says, whatever we experience in this world, we experience it in its perverted form. But it's original. Once Srila Prabhupada was in Delhi, and one hippie joined the devotees. And the hippie one day was saying to Srila Prabhupada, let's spread Krishna consciousness around the world. Right? And then we'll get rid of anger. And Prabhupada said, what's wrong with anger? Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to make Arjuna angry. What's wrong with anger? And then he gave the example of Hanuman. He became angry. So whatever we have in the material world, whatever we experience in its perverted form, also has its counterpart in its pure form in the spiritual world. So even arrogance, even envy, Prabhupada says, you even find envy in the spiritual world. I read that. But that is of a completely different nature. It's not perverted like we experience in the material world. It's all based on pure transcendental emotions meant for the pleasure, ultimate pleasure of Krishna. So Krishna's arrogance is of a different nature. Hard for us to understand, but at least we can theoretically get some idea. Yes, Mataji?
Does that mean we sort of control the senses?
So I don't understand what Mataji says. What she's quoting?
It comes up in the Bhagavad Gita, like chapter 2, Samatvam Yoguchate.
What does that mean, Mataji?
Does it mean we sort of control the balanced mind? You know, in chapter 2, you must all have read it.
So maybe I can paraphrase your question. Are you asking about controlling the mind?
Well, anger comes, but we...
Yeah. Anger is born out of the material mode of passion. Yeah.
So we have to divert it. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Divert it?
Well, in one sense, Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada says, we try to use everything in the service of Krishna. So one may ask the question, how do we divert anger? And Prabhupada says, yes, when someone is offending a devotee or blaspheming the Lord, we can become angry. So we can utilize anger from that sense in the service of the Lord also. Yeah. But ultimately, the anger that arises from the material mode of passion should be overcome by Krishna consciousness. I'm not sure if I understood you, Mataji.
It's okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, I think we've gone over time.
I mean, you try to make it positive. Your anger comes, but you try to take it to the positive.
Yeah, make it positive means see how we can use it in Krishna service.
You see, now I give you a little example. I had a school class, 30 children, and this child came from Somalia. He saw his parents were shot, and he was angry, you know. Or so you have. So I said, when you get angry, you breathe in and out. And after 30 years, I went to the bank. Are you Miss so-and-so? I said, yes. You told me when you get angry, you breathe in and out. So that means it has taken effect.
Yes.
So like that, probably I feel that should divert it to the positive.
Yes, that's artificial. The ultimate diverge to the positive means in Krishna consciousness. Yes, but the principle of the point you're making is valid. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande Hari Gaura.